Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Everybody's doing great. Man, it's hard to come up after that introduction. I paid him all the money that I have to say that, and so none of it is actually even true. No, we are having a blast building, helping God build an amazing church in Orlando, Florida. And I just, when I get to travel, which I do several times a year, I'm just in awe of what He's doing around the country. And I need you to know, if you're new here, I believe that you found home. I really believe that there is not a better church in this area to reach this community than Destiny Harvest. And there are not two better leaders than Pastor Stephen and Pastor Zai and what they're doing here. Are you grateful for your pastors? And I'm just, hey, listen, and if you call this place home, I just need you to know just how lucky and fortunate and blessed that you are. I get to hang out with a lot of people. And unfortunately, I see some people that are one way on a platform and different in their personal life. And I just need you to know that they are the same. And if you're new or if you've been here for a long time, what God is doing here is special. You should be grateful. We have a saying at Action Church. I didn't say this first service, but it's pretty funny. It's kind of a joke. We say, we're great and you should be grateful. I can tell you that from the outside. Like, Destiny Harvest is great and you really should be grateful. That was way funnier in my head. I really thought, I'm going to share something personal. We're going to have a moment, and then we're going to connect. I'm going to have a moment a little bit later. You're going to catch it, and we'll be friends then. Well, hey, I want to introduce you to my family. I brought a couple of pictures from Orlando. This is my crew that God has blessed me with. I got Stephanie. We married 12 years. Hold on. Let's do it collectively. I heard a few of you. Just when you see a picture of somebody's family, you just all collectively, you just say, aw, it's just so cool every time. Works every time. That's Bentley on the right. He's 7, my little soccer player and baseball player. We don't know who his father is. He looks exactly like me, and so he is my mini-me. Then we have Kings, and this picture clearly depicts their personalities. We have sweet, just quiet confidence, and then we have crazy. We named him Kingston, and we wonder why he's the king of every situation. I mean, that is Kingston. I got one more picture of just my boys. This took a lot of threats and a lot of bribing. How many of you had family pictures before? They were bleeding 5 minutes before that picture, and they just looked like they love each other. Man, I love my family, I love raising my kids. If you've had young kids or been around young kids, you know that they just kind of follow everything that you're doing, and that can be good or that can be bad. And so sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But Bentley, when he was Kingston's age, about 3, he loved to do everything that Daddy was doing. And so if I was working, he wanted to get a little desk and come work beside me. If I was wearing something, he wanted to go buy the same thing. And I dabble in fitness. I like to work out a little bit, because here's the deal. You have friends in this world that you hate. One of those for me is Pastor Stephen, because he's just good at everything. Like, he's better looking, he's better dressed, he's a better preacher. So I had to find something that I was better at. And you just need to know, I'm way stronger, like way fitter. And so I just work out just so I can have that thing. You know, we all have that friend. We all have that friend that you just secretly hate. Right, come on. If you're not raising your hand, you are that friend, and we all hate you. In fact, I believe in honor so much that I wore a coat today just so I could cover up, so I didn't just stand up here and brag for 45 minutes. Because holding the microphone is like a permanent flex. I'm just... But I was working out. I was doing a little P90X. Anybody ever heard of P90X? Tony Horton. Just keep pressing play. Just keep pressing play. We'll be here. You take a break, we'll be right here. And so I'm doing some arms and I'm doing some curls. And I was curling 50s. You can't tell, but I could. Okay, like for real, they were 35s. Pastor Stephen, I got some guys in the back that still don't believe me. They were 10s. They were purple. And my wife and I share them. But I was going for high reps. High reps, toning. Just wanted tone. Going for that tone, not size tone. Not really, they were 35. So I took a break, and I go to get some water, and my son Bentley, who's been watching me, he's been doing push-ups and sit-ups. His form could use some work back then, and he goes to pick up because he sees Daddy just slinging around these hundreds, and so they're 35. So we go. I go to get some water. I look into the living room. Our kitchen and living room were kind of joined, and so I could see, and I see Bentley, my three-year-old, bending down and trying to pick up the weights. And I would bend all the way down right now, but my pants are way too tight. And so you can just get the mental picture. I'm bending all the way down. And he goes to pick up the weights that he saw Daddy just ferociously slamming around. And he gets down there, and his face starts to turn red. He gets that vein in his neck. His eyes are bulging. He's like, "Daddy, these weights, they're stuck. Stuck. It's like, "Buddy, those weights aren't stuck. They're just too heavy for you to lift them. You're not created. You're not able yet to lift those weights." And I flew from Orlando, Florida to Maryland today to talk to some of you that are stuck in your own world. You're stuck in your own perspective where it's all about you. And over the next 30 minutes, I want to get us unstuck. Because we can't stay stuck in our selfishness and impact our world. We can't. And we're carrying a weight with our finances, and we're carrying a weight with our faith, and we're carrying a weight in our marriages and in our businesses. We're carrying a weight that you were never called to carry, and you've never given God your life or your trust or your faith or your finances, and you're stuck because you're not ready to run the race that God has for you. And my goal for our time together today is we would stop being stuck. And we would stretch for impact. We would stretch and get ready to do what God is calling us to do. It says this in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 54. I'm going to read two verses to get us started. Verse 2 and 3. It says, "Make your tent bigger." Like, we need to expand this thing. That's why I love the impact offering next week. And at Action Church, we're going to have an offering as well. We call it our expansion offering, that once a year we expand our influence, expand our ability to reach and connect people. Once a year at Destiny Harvest, you're having an impact offering to impact your city and state and nation and around the world in a larger way. It says, "Stretch it out and make it wider. Do not hold back. Make the ropes longer and the stakes stronger, because you will spread out to the right and to the left." That tells me that we're called to grow. I just believe that every church is called to grow. I don't believe that we're all called to grow at the same rate or the same pace. If you're 100, let's believe for 101 or 102. If you're 1,000, let's believe for 2,000. God makes things grow. There should not be a time in our Christian walk where we're not growing, whether it be numerically, financially. We are called to grow. Healthy things grow. Make it bigger. Stretch it out. Get unstuck by giving it to God. You'll spread out to the right and to the left. I love this last thought. Your children will take over nations, and they will again live in cities that were destroyed. What if there were places that were destroyed? What if there were marriages that were destroyed? What if there were relationships that were destroyed? What if there were lives destroyed by addiction? That through the generosity of Destiny Harvest, through this impact offering, we're not going to be stuck, but we're going to stretch out, and we are going to inhabit cities. We're going to inhabit places that have been destroyed. What would it look like for us to get unstuck and to stretch into all that God has for us? One of my favorite passages of scripture is in Galatians chapter 6. It says, "Do not grow weary in doing good, for at just the right time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up." Like, don't stop doing good. I mean, Pastor Justin, every year at Destiny Harvest, we're going to have an impact offering, and we're going to talk about praying to give above and beyond our tithe to impact people. Yes. You mean every single year we're going to have growth track, and we're going to go on a journey to find our purpose so we can make a difference in the lives of other people? Yes. Do you mean we're going to go on missions trips and we're going to serve our city and we're going to plant churches through ARC? Yes, because we're not going to grow weary in doing good, for at just the right time. It may not be your time, but at the right time we're going to reap a harvest. We got to stretch, church. I wrote down in my notes, where there's stretching, there is blessing. And then we got to stretch. We got to be warmed up. If you're going to lift weights in the weight room, if you're going to sling around those 100-pound dumbbells, you better stretch. If you're going to run a marathon, you better stretch or you're going to pull something. First of all, if you ever see me running for any reason, call somebody, because somebody's out to get me. I ain't running for no reason. Like, where are we going? Why are we in a hurry? I don't know. But you got to stretch or you're going to get hurt when it comes to building the kingdom of God. I think before he expands our churches, before he expands our ministry, there's some things that we got to do to stretch and warm up and really get ready. I want to ask you the question today. Are you willing and able to do what God is calling you to do? In all areas of life. We're going to talk about generosity specifically today, but in all areas. Before we get in to the content, are you willing and able to do what God is calling you to do? Are you stretched? Are you warmed up? Are you ready? Willing and able. When I say that out loud, I think about sitting in the emergency row of an airplane. Anybody ever sat there before? They ask you the question, are you willing and able? When you come to think about it, have you thought about how crazy airline travel is? Like, I was looking at some different comedians as I was getting ready for this message, just thinking about putting into context how crazy it is, how crazy we get when we get on an airplane. Like, we're calm, normal people until you get to the airport, right? You get there, somebody comes over. I fly Delta a lot. Somebody comes over to the speaker, and they say, we're going to board by zone in just a few moments. Take your time. Hey, we're all going to the same place. The plane's going to get there. Take your time, line up in zones, and it comes out of the intercom. This is the last plane out of Vietnam. Like, go, go, go. And there are people fighting, pushing over old people, stepping on children. Zone 3 barreling over zone 1. What is happening? And you've all seen that guy. He gets there, and he just waits, and he's in front of everybody. He's zone 3, but he's standing in line with premium, and he fights his way on the plane. He gets in the aisle, and he just stays there like he's the only person on earth. Like, nobody else exists, sir. We're just revolving around you. We're orbiting around your existence right now. This is your world. We're just paying rent. You know that guy? And he's just sitting there, and he's got this completely obvious to everybody, too big of a suitcase to go in the overhead compartment. And he's shoving that in there. It's like, sir, why are you shoving a couch or a futon in the overhead compartment? Like, clearly, that's not going to fit. It's not going to fit in here. It's not going to fit on the plane. What? How did you get here? How do you live your life? Well, how do you exist in this world? You finally get down to your seat, and the stress is finally over, and you're sitting on one of the planes, and you're so fortunate because you have an on-demand TV in front of you. I turn 7 years old when I get on an airplane. All I care about is what we're eating and what we're watching on the movie. Like, there's nothing else in the world. Pastor Steven talked about being a CEO. I am 7 when I get on an airplane. I'm excited about my movie. I'm finally in there. I pick my movie. I'm watching my movie. And then the captain comes on, and for some reason, they can never fix the volume on those stupid planes. Like, I'm listening to one way, and then all of a sudden, I can't hear out of both ears because it just blows it out. You ever been there before? No? Nobody flies. Okay, I should have used a different illustration. We're going to keep going because that's what I prepared for. And so you get those headphones in. You get those headphones in. You watch your movie, and then you got to go for a little bathroom break. And you're getting up, and you go up to the bathroom. And it's always small, and there's just so many bad things on an airplane. What I'm always confused about is why the captain always gives me a play-by-play of what we're going to do. You ever notice that? Like, he just comes on and tells us where we're going to go. Like, we're going to go up to 33,000 feet. We're going to take a left over this city, a right over this city. We're going to be there in about 2 hours. Yeah, thank you, sir. I paid for the ticket. I have a place of origin and I have a destination. I'd like for you to get me from here to there. I don't need the commentary. I don't go up and tell him what I'm doing. I don't go up and knock on the cockpit door and say, hey, I'm going to have the peanuts. I thought about the pretzels. I'm going to go with the peanuts. I'm going to eat some now, some later. It's such a big bag. Thank you. My least favorite thing is they say that the drinks and the snacks are complimentary. They're not complimentary. I paid $400 for those snacks. They come by and give me one bag. I said, no, sweetheart, you're going to give me the whole thing. I'm going to get $400 worth of peanuts, and I'll take 3 cans of soda. Go ahead and bring those out. Then we can start talking about complimentary. It's crazy. And the craziest thing is that we trust people sitting in the exit row for our safety. And when they come and get the demonstration, nobody's listening. They're like, review your safety guide. And I just want you to know, if we ever go down, nobody's ever read that safety guide. They're like, how do I open this door? What is happening right now? But they ask this question, and here's what I want to ask you today. They say, are you willing and able to assist? In case of emergency, are you willing and able to assist? Can I just tell you, Destiny Harvest Church, the emergency is right now. There are people with an origin on earth, with a destination, eternity apart from God. And we are sitting in the exit row of life. We have the safety manual. We have the play-by-play. We have all that we need to help them. And my question to you today is, are you willing and able to assist in this emergency? I'm going to need a response. And hopefully over the next 20 minutes, I get us to a place, because on the airlines, you have to have a verbal response. And there's a response that I think is required in our Christian faith. Are you willing and able? Let's talk about willing first. Are we willing? Are we really willing to help people in their time of need? I want to give you a verse before we get into 1 Timothy. It's in Philippians 2. It says, God is working in you. He's doing something, hopefully today, maybe in your past. He's working something in you to make you willing and able to obey him. So what are we going to obey? Today I want to talk about obeying him in our generosity, in our giving to impact our world. 1 Timothy, if you'll go with me there, chapter 6, we're going to read three verses together, starting in verse 17. It says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. And that's so true. It comes and goes. There's seasons. There's times of plenty, times of lack. We'll talk about that later. Their trust, it's important. We'll talk about that in a few moments as well. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. That's so important. You know, so many times when we talk about this, we feel the pressure and we feel the obligation, and we're going to read something in Corinthians in just a moment, but we feel this, that I have to give it all away, that I shouldn't enjoy things. That's not in there. Paul writes to a young pastor in Timothy, leading the church in Ephesus, and he said, God gives us all we want, all we need for our enjoyment. We are the sons and daughters of God, and when I give my sons gifts, it's not all the time, but when I give them things, I like when they enjoy them. So to sit around and think that God doesn't give us good things for our enjoyment, it's just not in there. And so as we talk about giving, there's also enjoying what God has given us. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Always being ready. That we're willing to be used by God. We're willing to be stretched. We're willing and we're ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to impact your world? Is the willingness there? As we talk about giving, it's very easy to think that we're asking something from you. But I'm just telling you, it's not from you, it's for you. It's so that, see, God's going to do it. Like, God's going to impact the world. Jesus died, rose again. It's already happened. He is moving. The question is, are we going to be a part of it? Are we willing? Are we willing? And I want to make a statement, and Pastor Steve may never invite me back again. I don't know, but it's really dangerous with an offering next week, Pastor Stephen. But I think it's in there. I really think that it's something God's been convicting me of. If there's not a why, church, then don't give. Like, if there's not a reason, like if there's not something that's tangibly happening, don't give. Let's take eternity out of it for just a second. You can't. I'm just playing with you. But let's just take it out for just a second. Just the practical difference that the local church is making. My why at Action Church is the family of four, led by a single mom, four kids that have never met their father. I found out a few weeks ago, they walk 50 minutes to church every single week. They started bringing their niece and nephew. So this lady walks 50 minutes with six kids, gets there 45 minutes early, serves the first service, worships the second service, and then serves in our growth track after the second service. That's my why. My why is that I found out about that, called a couple of business people in our church, and we're giving her a brand new minivan so that she can transport her kids, she can get back to work. That's my why. Like, it doesn't have to be this distant. You know, there's practical needs in our community. My why is the 700 families that we just provided a full Thanksgiving meal for, delivered, and they picked up, prayed for them, invited them to church, got them connected in community, and made a difference on a holiday. That's my why. I was talking to Pastor Stephen this week about some of the things that's happening at Destiny Harvest Church, the why that we would give here, the why that we'd be willing to be used by God here. Some staggering stuff. 688 people have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ just this year. I pictured you getting a little more excited. I don't know. The earlier service was way more excited. 688 people that we made a way, that we were willing and able to assist out of their destination apart from God and get them to safety and eternity with him. $100,000 have been given to missions and outreach, over $100,000. Amazing, amazing. Planted 118 churches through ARC, planted 7 churches internationally, and are assisting the needs of your congregation and the local needs of the community. The why is there. You have a why. I don't give because I have to at my church. You should never give because you have to here. In fact, later we're going to study you shouldn't. Like, don't give don't give with any obligation. Don't give unless you're going to give cheerfully. That's not the goal. I don't give because of an obligation. I give because I have a why. And my pastor, Pastor Chris Hodges, always says, when you lose your why, you lose your way. And some of you have lost your way in your finances. Some of you lost your way in your relationship. Some of you lost your way in your Christian faith. It's because you've lost your why. The why is there. That Jesus gave everything for you. So why will we not give what we have, our lives, making that same opportunity possible for somebody else? We got to be willing. I believe you are. I believe you're willing. 2 Corinthians says where the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. I believe we're a willing church. I know that you are. I hear Pastor Stephen talk about you all the time. I get the heart. But what I found sitting on those airplanes, if you're sitting behind the people in the exit row, sometimes they're willing because it has more leg room, right? It's awesome. You like to be there. They're willing, but they're 13 years old. You can't sit in there. They're willing, but they're 130 years old. You can't sit there. Like, they're willing. They have something wrong in their body, and I'm not making fun of anybody. What I'm saying is they're willing to sit there, but they're not able. Can it ever be said of Destiny Harvest Church that we're willing, but that we don't live our lives in such a way that we're able to impact our world? See, the heart's there. It's got to be. You can't come in here week after week and not want to reach people for God. You can't come in here week after week and not want to give your life to make a difference in others. But are we living our life principally in such a way that we're able? Got to be willing and able to assist people. Let's get into some scripture. 2 Corinthians. Let's flip over 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you got your Bibles, stay in the New Testament. Everybody still with me? Yeah. Everybody say able.
Able.
Awesome. Still there. Awesome. Gonna keep going. Verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide. Circle that in your Bible, underline it, put it in your notes. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Decide. We've got to make a decision to give. We've got to make a determined action before we're in the pressure of a reaction based off the world circumstance. A decision. Decide. So what I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, and if you're not taking notes, get something else to write down. Decide. What does that look like? Tithe before anything else. We're going to go old school. We're talking about the tithe here. Destiny Harvest Church, December 3rd, 2017. Tithe before anything else. What's the tithe? It's 10% of your income. Make it a decision to give God what is God. I hear all the time, that's a principle of the law. No, it was before the law because God required Abraham to bring his first fruits. Then it was in the law, and then Jesus came to fulfill the law and basically said, give everything you have to the poor. And so if you want to go new covenant, I'm sure Pastor Steve would love to meet with you this week and talk about how you're going to sign over everything you own to the church. It'd be amazing. In Jesus' name, make sure Pastor Steve ties 10% to Action Church. The tithe is biblical. It's just giving God your first. And I get this question. I don't know if you've ever asked this before. I asked it early in my faith, and I get it all the time as a pastor. Pastor Justin, yeah, I got the tithe. Got it. Okay, cool. Do I tithe gross or net? Is that before or after? It's a good question. My response back is always with a question. I don't know. Would you like to reap gross or net? Which one? And some of you today are saying, I can't start with 10%. And you know what? Your situation, that's true. I like to say principally, you say, I can't afford to tithe. I would say you can't afford not to. Amen. But that could be a stepping stone. I don't want you to leave here and feel discouraged. Just start somewhere, 1%, 2%, 3%, deciding you're going to give God your first so he can bless the rest. And then let him lead you. Let him guide you. Don't take my word for it, take his. But I dare you. I dare you to give God everything. And watch what he can do. You know, I looked this week. It's crazy. I'm from Alabama. We're about the last on every education list, so I'm not brilliant. But I didn't know this before. Maybe you did. Tithe is actually spelled T-R-U-S-T. It's crazy. Seriously. It's spelled trust. Because tithing is not about money. So many times we think God's just after my money. The church is after your money. God created everything from nothing. Like the heavens and the earth just spoke to him. Man from the dust of the earth, woman from a rib of man. He created everything from nothing. I don't think he's up there with a calculator wondering if you're going to give 10% today. Like, Jesus, I don't know what we're going to do if they don't come off that wallet. If Destiny Harvest just keeps giving 6.5%, I think we're going to have to shut this whole thing down. I'm not sure we're going to have to make it next month. Like, Jesus is up there interceding at the right hand of the Father, and the Father's like, Jesus, could you intercede for our finances? I'm not sure how we're going to pay the bills. Like, no! It's not like that. It's because it's not about money, it's about trust. Church, God can't bless what you don't give him. And so I don't want to be stuck in my own personality, stuck in my own world, stuck on what I can create, because I know what I'm good at and I know all the things that I'm not good at, and I really hope this thing, my life, my family, my church, my business, I really hope it doesn't all fall on me, because I'm going to fall short. But what I give God, man, he can bless. I heard a pastor say one time, what you hold on to is all you have. What you release, God can multiply. We've got to release to God what's God's. Here's what it looks like practically. Y'all have Chick-fil-A in Maryland? Man, I love Chick-fil-A. I just felt the Holy Ghost right there. Like, I don't know about y'all. I thought I felt him in worship. I'm pretty sure a couple of points ago I really nailed it and it was almost here, but Chick-fil-A just ushered in the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you know this, but the calories don't count at Chick-fil-A. It's God's chicken. It's true. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure the manna that fell from heaven in the book of Exodus was Chick-fil-A sandwich. You may say, that's not true. How do you know? You weren't there. And it's good every single day. I could eat there every single day. The people of God, the people of Israel, they were eating Chick-fil-A. Believe it. Chick-fil-A is amazing. I go there all the time. I go there when I'm watching my kids. I have two little boys, as you saw earlier. And dads, I don't know if all the dads in here are like this, but I just survive. Like, if mom's not around, like, I'm just, what time are we going to bed? What time are you coming home? What do you mean 4 hours? What am I supposed to do for 4 hours? She's like, I don't know. You help create these kids. Like, raise them. I'm like, I thought this was like a partnership, like we were doing it together. Why you, man, it's tough. So I go to Chick-fil-A. We'll eat three meals there. Like, we'll just stay there all day because I got a playground. Just go for another lap. Get some ice cream, go for another lap. Get some nuggets, go for another lap. Well, I was sitting there with Kingston, my three-year-old. Bentley was in school on my off day. And Kingston and I were having a day at Chick-fil-A. And so he wants nuggets and fries and I like some nuggets too, so I don't get the kids' meal. I always get them an 8 or a 12 count because I like to steal a few nuggets. You know what I mean? I don't want to just take a few. Hopefully he'll eat 4, sometimes 6 or 7, and whatever he doesn't eat, I'll take. Well, this day Kingston was really, really hungry, and in between laps on the playground, he was eating his nuggets. Well, I was done with mine, and he still had 4 or 5 left. And so I thought, I'll take some nuggets. I'm trying to teach my son how to share and this principle of generosity, and so... So I asked him, I said, Kingston, Daddy would like to have a couple of your chicken nuggets. He's like, no, these are my nuggets. What changed? Like, we used to both get the nuggets. No, these are my nuggets, Dad. My nuggets. No, son, give me a couple nuggets. No, these are my nuggets. So I begin to lay out the spreadsheets, the income that he brings into the family and the income that I bring into the family, and he was losing. Those are my nuggets. I paid for those nuggets. I will eat those nuggets because they're mine. Son. Here's the principle. Those aren't your chicken nuggets. Like that money in the bank, the things that you're good at. I've never met anybody that created themselves. So God gave you everything and it's all going back to him. It's not yours. You're stingy with God's chicken nuggets. And he just says, just give me some so we can walk in relationship and do some great things together. We got to tithe. We got to trust God more than anything else. Secondly, if you're taking notes, we got to live off of what we need. Let's go to verse 8. Live off of what we need. It said, and God will generously provide all you want. No. All you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty, I love that, plenty left over to share with others. You'll have all that you need. Live off what you need. This isn't the fun one. I'm not going to stay here very long. You can watch some online tutorials, maybe join a small group around here. Hey, church, we just got to build a budget. Like, we just got to make sure there's more money than month. I'm not trying to be crazy. I'm just trying to have a plan and name our income and name our finances, because we're willing. I believe after today we're all willing. But are we able? Like, is there more money than month so that we can have plenty left over? It says God's going to give us what we need. You know, sometimes that's easy. I've been in seasons in business where it's bonuses and it's easy to give. But I've been in seasons as a college student. I've been in seasons when I moved to a new city that we did not know a single person. We decided to sell everything and rent a home that I never want to see again. And all of the things. I've been in seasons of plenty and seasons of lack, but that doesn't change the principle of living off what we need to be a blessing to other people. So what I wrote down in my notes is there's seasons where we save. We always should be saving. Where we save and share. In times of plenty, we save and share. But in times of lack, we save so that we can prepare to be generous in the next season. There's never a season where it's about us. It's about trusting God, deciding, tithing before anything else, and then living off what we need. Because if we'll do that, we'll get to this third one. And this is where God's calling us to spend the majority of our time. It's give generously so that God will be glorified. We're going to give generously so that God will be glorified. We don't give to get. We give so that we can give more. We don't give so we get the credit. No names on buildings in the kingdom of God. There's only one name, and it's Jesus Christ. We're not building a brand. We're not building a ministry. We're building the kingdom of God. The local church, the only thing that God is coming back for, we give so that God will be glorified. Let's finish out this passage, and then we'll close. Let's go down to verse 9. It says, you have plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. And you do that so well, church, helping those in need. Their good deeds, I love this, their good deeds will be remembered forever. That we're investing in something that's not going away. That the kingdom of God lives forever. We're investing in really the only thing that actually matters. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always, in seasons of plenty and of lack, always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. That we're making much of Jesus, not much of ourselves. Give generously so he will be glorified. We give because we love people. Here's the interaction I want to close with. You remember in the Bible, Jesus lived a perfect life, died a sinner's death in our place, rose again from that grave. The resurrection gives us victory over death, victory over the sin that we struggle with. But then he kind of walked around for about 40 days, the Bible says, just kind of scaring people, like just popping up on the road and popping up in the upper room. If you don't think Jesus had a little bit of sarcasm and was hilarious, like, you're not reading the same Bible. Like, I can't wait to cut it up with Jesus one day. Like, I just think, well, in a very righteously way, make fun of other people. Like, that's just my personal hope. All in the Lord, laughing with them, not at them, all those things. He was there, and he appears to Peter on the shore. Remember, they're having this conversation, and Peter was the one that was saying, I'm going to be the best, and Peter was the one, upon this rock I will build my church, and Peter was the one that cut off the soldier's ear. He was pretty bold, always making mistakes. He was the one that says, God, I'll never deny you. Jesus, I'm with you to the end. And then when it got tough, he denied him three times, even to a little girl. So we're having this interaction. Talk about awkward. Like, where you were the one that stood up and said, no, I'm going to make a difference. And then you cowered back and you went back and you were afraid. Well, we find the disciples fishing again. Before we close the message, I just got to take a time out and say, just because you've gone through something tough, just because your situation doesn't look like what you think that it should look like, the disciples followed Jesus. They saw the dead raised. They saw the deaf have hearing. They saw the blind see. They saw thousands of people come into a relationship with God. And the moment they hit a little bump in the road, they were back fishing. Don't let the enemy steal your path, steal your purpose, steal what he has for you just because there's a couple of things that don't turn out the right way. Don't go back to where you were. You may not be where you want to be right now, but don't go back to who you used to be. God's got a plan, even in your pain. So they have this conversation, and Jesus is talking to Peter. And he says, Peter, do you love me? He's like, Lord, you know. Like, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, I know you love me. probably getting a little frustrated, maybe a little like kind of bent out of shape at this point. He says, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my lambs, the little ones. He says, Peter, do you love me? This time it's starting to hit him. What Jesus is doing, ask him a third time. Three times he betrayed him. Three times he's asking, do you love me? He says, shepherd my flock. Take care of my people. Take care of the little ones. Take care of people. Do you love me, Peter? Do something about it. Hey, Destiny Harvest Church, do you love God? We can't love God and sit on the sidelines. We can't love God and take up the exit row with our stuff and with our bags and with our sin and with our shame. You're either helping people off the plane or you're in the way. And my prayer today is that we get out of the way and allow God to use us for Him the glory. Because it's not in case of emergency. It's not in case we're in it. We know the end of the story. We know we win, but we know a lot of people are going to spend eternity apart from God, and we have the safety guide. We have the manual. We know how to open the door. We know how to usher people in, and it takes hours of service, and it takes passion, it takes vision, but it takes the practical obedience of the local church, giving out of the overflow of what we've been given to make a way for lost people to be found, for dead people to find new life in Jesus Christ. Destiny Harvest Church, are you willing? And are you able to assist people in this emergency? On a plane, you have to give a verbal response. You can't ignore it. The question has been asked. There's got to be a response. What will your response be this week as you pray, as you seek God, and as you give next week? Will it be, God, use me. You found a vessel. You found a person that is willing and able to do whatever it takes to reach people that are far from you and to connect them to all that you have for their life. Would you bow your heads this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed? God, we love you so much. I thank you for this word. God, I thank you that your word is so timely, that there are seasons where we feel so encouraged, we feel so inspired. And even in my own life, that words like this, they convict me a little bit. It raises up some things in me that maybe I don't like, some fear, some apprehension. I pray that you'd remove those, convict me where I fall short. I pray that for Destiny Harvest as well. Your word is a double-edged sword. It cuts going in and it cuts going out. I pray today we divide, we'd separate the wrong thinking from correct believing in you, and I pray that they'd be blessed because of it.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.